Now that we've covered some of the attitude parts of prospecting, what we need to get into is, well, with all that said, how do I still overcome my fear? Because my fear is I'm not sure exactly what to say once I get on the phone. There's certainly a lot of time, effort, and money, production costs that have gone into helping people understand different phone scripts. And our basic philosophy about what exists most of the time out there is that they may repackage it, it may sound a little different, but the foundation of what the scripts are based on hasn't changed at all. In other words, a lot of what people are doing today on the phone is what's been done over the last 15, 20, and 30 years. And I would challenge anybody in our listening audience or our clients to give me an idea of something they're doing today that they did exactly the same way they did 5, 10, 15, and 20 years ago. And our technology has changed so much, and the times have changed so much, and the consumer today is so much more sophisticated that we can no longer depend on the old methods of prospecting and talking to people on the phone to get through them. We're just in a different place today in 1994 than we were in 1964. And you're saying, well, Tony, what the hell's that got to do with this phone script? And the reason I bring that up is because our phone script's going to sound different. It's going to be different. But it ties in very well with our philosophy about selling. One of our basic philosophies about selling is that our salespeople, we don't want them to look, act, or sound like salespeople. Just think for a second that you're at home, it's 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night, and the phone begins to ring. And sometimes it rings 4 or 5 times a night, and once in a while it doesn't ring at all, but typically you're in the middle of dinner and that phone rings and you pick it up, and it could be any number of people on the phone introducing themselves. Hi, my name is Tony Cole, I'm with, and they introduce a company, and we're calling tonight about, and they go on and they start with this script. Now, as soon as you begin to hear that, what do you think? Natural inclination is sales guy or sales gal. And psychologically, the walls go up, and all you can do is be as polite as you can, wait for them to get past their spiel, and they ask you for their credit card number, or say something like, would Tuesday at 2 or Thursday at 10 be better, that we've heard a zillion times, so that you can politely say, I'm not interested, and hang up. But they really lost you within the first 10 seconds because they all sound the same. And they're all getting the same results. And so if you want different results, what we're suggesting is to think about approaching this in a little bit different fashion and design your script so it sounds a little bit different. The first paradigm that I'm going to ask you to switch or get rid of, or the first piece of baggage that you need to unload is that you need to introduce yourself and your company. And that doesn't make any sense at all. If I call you up, you really don't care what company I'm in, especially if I'm cold calling. I mean, first of all, it's a major inconvenience just to have to pick up the phone and talk with a salesperson. So if someone could help me understand why it's vitally important or why a prospect wants to know what company I'm with, then maybe I'll change my attitude. But until someone can prove that to me, I think for you to call up and say, hi, my name is Tony Cole, I'm with Anthony Cole Training, until someone can convince me that makes sense, then I just don't think you can do that. So here's an idea of a script that seems to be working for our people, and just a suggestion for you to consider. And I'll go through it slowly. We may go through it once or twice just so you can get a feel for it. But before I get into the script, there's lots of different things that you will have to do to get past the gatekeeper. Now, depending on what market you're in and what type of product or service you sell, that may not be a problem. In other words, if you're selling real estate, or if you're selling insurance products at home or windows to the home and those sorts of things, you're not in the business marketplace, if you will, then chances are when that person at home picks up the phone, there is no gatekeeper. I mean, kids are not gatekeepers. They say, hey, mom, it's for you. They drop the phone. They keep on playing. So there's not much of a gatekeeper problem there. But if you're in a business marketplace, you do have that problem. That's a whole different set of tapes. Keep this in mind, that the gatekeeper is not your mom, the gatekeeper is not your dad, and it's not their teacher. When they ask you a question, keep this one little concept in mind. You don't have to answer the question. Your job is to get past the gatekeeper to the decision maker. Their job is to keep you from doing that. So it becomes a game. And so whoever's better at the game wins. And you have to make a choice. Do you want the gatekeeper to win, or do you want to win? Now, I know that sounds harsh and aggressive, and I'm not saying you tell the gatekeeper, well, it's none of your business. You don't say things like that. But the concept is to get that gatekeeper to help you in the process. You call them up and the gatekeeper answers the phone. You say, yeah, my name is Tony, and I hope I'm calling the right place and that maybe you can help me out with something. Get that gatekeeper to buy into
what you are and what you're doing, and get them on your side of the table and get them to help you versus this adversarial position. But for our discussion today, let's assume that we get past this gatekeeper and we get a chance to talk to your actual contact or decision maker. The first thing we suggest that you do is you just simply introduce yourself and then shut up. Don't say anything. It would sound like this. If the person picks up the phone, they're probably going to say hello, or hello, this is John, hello, this is Harry, hello, this is Mary, whatever it is. And whatever they say, you just simply say, this is Tony Cole, and then shut up. You see, the philosophy is this. There's four steps to our process. The first thing that we need to keep in mind is the objective of the phone call. The objective of the phone call is to get the appointment. Now, I don't care if you're listening to the Tax Sales Training System or Dale Carnegie or Brian Tracy or Tony Robbins or Mark Hansen. It doesn't matter. Anybody who teaches sales training, Steve Franklin taught it this way, Mark Reason, they all teach the same stuff. The objective of the phone call is to get the appointment. But they also teach a second most important thing is to get your prospect involved. And they will all tell you that you have to get that prospect involved as soon as possible. Now, if I start out the conversation with this, I'll talk to my studio mate here. I'll say, John, this is Tony Cole. I'm with Anthony Cole Training, and I'm calling you today about, I've already lost him. That's not as soon as possible. It probably takes me 10, 15, maybe 30 seconds to get through my spiel about who I am, what I do, and all the neat things our company does and all that kind of stuff. That's not as soon as possible. Well, imagine this for a second. I call you up and I say, this is Tony Cole, and I just shut up. It takes me about 1 second to say that. Now there's dead silence on the phone. This achieves the second objective, and that is a prospect now must get involved. They will certainly get involved mentally because you start to wonder, well, who the hell is this? That's what I want to have happen. I want them involved mentally. The second thing will happen is they will get involved verbally, either through silence or through saying something. Now, most of the time, they're going to say something like, well, yeah, Tony, can I help you? I have now achieved my second objective. The third objective of our sales process is to start to discover, is there any pain this prospect might have for what I do? And the way we're going to do that is sound something like this. Well, John, it doesn't sound like you know me. And this may sound strange, but I'm not even sure we should be talking. Can I tell you why I called? Now, I continued. The prospect is still, and I'm looking at my studio mate here, and look at his face, and he's kind of like, yeah, this, that would get me involved. Your prospect is thinking, well, I'm not sure. Because they're going to say, well, did I meet this guy at a Chamber of Commerce meeting? Did I meet him in a social function? You've got them thinking. Their mind is now off of who's the sales nut. All right, they're trying to figure out what this relationship is about. And when you ask the question, can I tell you why I called? Most of the time, they're going to say, well, yeah, go ahead. And so now you tell them why you called. And you introduce what we call a USA. And again, we take 2 hours in a workshop to help people develop USAs or USPs, as Dan Kennedy calls them. And that's called a unique selling approach or a unique selling proposal. And the unique selling approach quickly should, when you deliver it, should get the prospect to say something like this. Well, how do you do that? One of our clients is in the bookbinding business. Now, he goes out and talks to printers and talks to large companies like an AT&T or a Cincinnati Bell or a Kroger, whatever it is, and goes in and says, yeah, I'm in a bookbinding business. Their immediate reaction is, well, we've got someone who does that. And so he changes USA. His USA now is, my name is Brian, and I'm in the information packaging business. What's that? That's the response that you want from your prospect. You want them to say mentally or verbally, well, how do you do that, or what's that about? So we deliver this USA, and ours is we empower people to be their best. Can I tell you why I called? Yeah. I'm in the business of helping people be their best, or another one that we use is we work with sales organizations to improve profitability and productivity. Well, I work with sales organizations who are really frustrated with the lack of activity or lack of qualified prospect for their sales groups. That's going to get people thinking about the benefit that people have in working with me, as well as I work with people concerned or frustrated about certain issues. And then what I do is I say, typically we find that people in your situation who are sales managers or business owners, you identify the marketplace that you're working in, they have one of three problems. And then what you would do is you would go on to describe three problems that you typically solve for people in this marketplace or within that industry. If you're in the insurance business, you might say, as John Savage used to say, we provide buckets of money when people need it the most. I work with people who are very frustrated with the fact that when they die, over 50% of their estate goes to the IRS. And the other issue that we deal with is with business owners, and their major concern is that if they or their partner dies, then their spouse will be in partner with somebody else or something of that nature. So you deliver the third issue. And then what you close with is something like this. Now, Mr. Business Owner, and now we have to develop and build a story and put them someplace where you know they are. John, when you're sitting back in that chair at the end of the day and you're thinking about this new business that you're about to start and you're thinking about and some of the things you're worried about in terms of productivity and profitability and having enough qualified prospects, which one of those, when you're sitting there at the end of the day saying, how am I going to solve this problem? Which one of those three problems is the one that causes you the most headache or concern? Your prospect will pick one of those concerns, be it profitability, or having enough qualified prospects, or salespeople not having enough activity, or too many proposals and not enough sales being generated, or not protecting high enough margins for sales. Whatever it is, your prospect will pick one. And then you go on through this planned script. And if your prospect gives you one, then you say something like this. Well, tell me more about that. And your prospect will tell you more about the problem. Then you say something like this. Well, why would that be a problem? And now they tell you why it's a problem. After they tell you why it's a problem, you say something like this. Well, how long have you been concerned about that? And they tell you how long it's been a problem. And then I'm going to say something like this. Well, what happened when you tried to fix it last? And you'll get an answer, well, it didn't work, or we haven't tried to fix it. But you got to ask this very important question, and that is, well, John, what happens if you do nothing? And if they say, well, it's no big deal, you don't have a prospect. That's where you find out if, in fact, if this prospect has pain for the solutions that you provide. And if they go on and say, well, God, if we don't do anything, I'm going to lose my job, and this is going to happen, I'm going to sell the business, and blah, 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 blah. You ask the next question. Would you like to eliminate this problem? Would you like to fix it? And if they say yes, you say something like this. I'd like to make a suggestion. Now, let me take a breather here and go over a couple things. One, the first two items we talked about, getting the appointment and getting your prospect involved, standard in almost any sales training program. The third item, discovering pain. Some people see if you can find a need, see if you can fish a need, but they do an inadequate job of that. They say things like this. I'd like to come by and tell you the kind of work that I do. You see if it makes any sense for us to do business together. A Tuesday at 2 or Wednesday at 3 be better. I mean, how many of you people have heard that from a salesperson? We've all heard it a zillion times. It's what we call begging for an appointment, which leads us to our fourth item. And the fourth item is that you must get invited to the appointment, or you must invite them. Get invited. And so I'm going to close for the appointment sounding something like this. John, I'd like to make a suggestion. And the prospect is always going to say, okay. Now here's the key operative word. What objections? Not, do you have any objections? These are the exact words. What objections do you have to inviting me out to talk about these items? What that forces your prospect to do is to come up with an objection that doesn't sound stupid. Any objection they're going to have is going to sound crazy, unless they're going to be out of town for Hawaii for a week or something like that. But, you know, you're going to eliminate all the things that you hear now as salespeople. Well, I don't have time, I don't know this, and we're not in this. Because don't forget, you now have this person in pain. They've talked to you about some issues that are of great concern to them. So if they come up with an objection now, it's going to sound utterly ridiculous. Now, you're going to have some, and we certainly help people deal with stalls and objections, and there's different techniques to handle that. But I would suggest to you that if you follow some format like this, but at the very end, use these exact words. What objections would you have to inviting me out to discuss these issues? You're going to get appointments. They're going to say, well, none. Well, when you hear the well, none, you say, great, take out your calendar.